Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. Rod Hampton here again with inspirational stories of people sharing Christ around the world. We go to Juliana Smoke and kick off our preview of this week's stories.
Thanks, Rod. It's called The Great Exchange, and coming up, we'll hear about the spiritual conversations that are happening across college campuses.
I'm John Graham, and Dr. John Thornton, author of Jesus' Terrible Financial Advice, joins us on today's Culture Connection.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. For Easter this year, Georgia Baptists have initiated a huge plan to invite 1 million to come to church. We'll talk about the big invite.
And I'm Myrna Brown, talking to singer-songwriter Zach Williams about his nomination and his new song, Chainbreaker.
Also today, Pray Georgia is underway for 2017, and that's on our Mission Georgia Moment. So stay close for this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. This ministry is all about starting conversations with those in their 20s about the gospel. Here's Life with Purpose Radio's Juliana Smoke with the story.
John Deans from Watkinsville First Baptist Church in Watkinsville, Georgia, started a Bible study for young men. And out of that, John realized the need to equip and teach them on how to share their faith. So he took the men to the University of Georgia campus and began sharing Jesus. That was 5 years ago. And out of that began the Great Exchange, where equipped believers go to college campuses and engage 20-year-olds in spiritual conversations about Jesus. John Deans with The Great Exchange joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Welcome, John.
Delighted to be able to be on Life with Purpose Radio.
So this ministry began out of a Bible study where you saw the need to equip and encourage believers on how to share their faith.
Several of us older men began a Bible study with young university men. And as these guys began to grow spiritually, they were really solid. I looked at them and said, you know, they're going to be a bunch of freshman guys who show up on their campus this fall. They need to be talking about Jesus. And I thought, well, you know why they don't do that? They don't do it because they never see me do it. So we took those guys on campus at the University of Georgia in the summer and began to interact, just asking them about their spiritual backgrounds with the intent of being able to share the gospel. And we could not find a university man who would not talk to us. They all talked to us, and they all told us their story. And then what happened with our young guys is all of a sudden they began to own the gospel. This was theirs.
Wow. And in just a few short years, the ministry has grown to 45 different campuses and has spread to other countries as well.
We discovered there's a movement of the Holy Spirit right now amongst 20-year-olds. They're not interested in religion, and they're not interested about our entertainment, but they're very interested in having spiritual conversations, and they're very interested in discovering about the person of Jesus. We thought, well, this could work on any campus. So we began to partner with different campus ministries hosted on different university campuses and found that whatever university campus we go to, students are very open and willing to have a conversation about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And you equip believers on how to share their faith.
Yes. One of the problems we have with sharing our faith is, how do you bring the subject up? How do you move from college football to Jesus? So we came up with some questions that we could ask. And then we put them on a little card and made a little survey with 9 questions. And we just asked students if they would take a moment and take a survey.
So you do a survey with them and you ask some questions they might not have asked themselves ever before. And then you challenge them to a 21-day challenge.
Exactly. The last question we ask on the survey is, if you could know God personally, would you like to? And 99% of the students we ask that question say yes. And then we say, can I take 5 minutes and describe how that can happen? After we talk through Jesus, the 21-day challenge is, we have a New Testament, but we don't give away a New Testament. We give a challenge. And we'll say to a student, people have a high view of the Bible. They just never read it. So our challenge is that you take the Gospel of John and read 1 chapter a day for 21 days. And each day before you read, just say, God, if you're real and Jesus is the answer, show yourself to me in some way I'd recognize. So it's a 21-day challenge.
Mm-hmm. And since the Great Exchange partners with campus ministries and churches, you're able to immediately connect them with a local church.
Absolutely. We don't go to a campus where we are not hosted or partnering with a ministry that's on that campus or close to that campus. We meet students and put them in a direction where they're connected with ministries.
And then equip local believers so that they can continue to share faith even after the Great Exchange leaves.
Absolutely. All of a sudden, a young person who's never done this before, never shared their faith before, realizes, hey, I can do this. I can have a conversation about Jesus.
If someone wants to get more information on The Great Exchange, how would they go about doing so?
Well, we have a website called thegreatexchange.org, and you can go to the website and find us and plug us in there. We are looking for other places to go. We think that The Great Exchange will work on any campus in the whole world. We have a group doing this in Brazil. We've been to Hungary. We've been to Germany. If we show up on a university campus anywhere in the whole world, university students will engage in conversations about Jesus.
We've been speaking with John Deans with The Great Exchange. John, thank you for joining us today and sharing how the lives of the next generation are being changed by the gospel.
Thank you for your conversation, and we're looking forward to folks participating with us in the future.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
From the outside looking in, it looked like I had the world at my feet. I had everything all figured out. But when I would get home alone, all I could hear was my own voice in my head telling me what a failure I was. So I had to make my life noisy with TV, social media, any kind of distraction just to drown it all out. But then last year, I went to a place with a friend where everything changed. You know, I didn't even know how special it was at the time, but when I left there, for the first time in my life, I finally felt still. I finally had peace and calm in such a noisy world. And that place was church. And the time was Easter. That was my new beginning.
StartYourNewBeginning.com. Thank you for listening each week to Life with Purpose Radio. Well, the financial wisdom from Jesus in the Bible may not be a big hit with everyone, but John Thornton can help us understand the thought process and take it to heart as he talks with John Graham on today's Culture Connection.
Dealing with money is a necessary evil in our world. Being a good steward of it can be challenging when culture trains us to get all we can and, of course, spend more than we make. Dr. John Thornton has written a book about the subject with quite an interesting title, Jesus' Terrible Financial Advice. We'll give him a chance to defend that charge right now. Dr. Thornton, welcome to the program.
Thank you and hello.
Okay, so how does Jesus have terrible financial advice?
Yeah, wow. You know, from a world's perspective, Jesus' advice seems exceedingly bad. Think about it. Give to everybody who asks you.
Uh-huh.
We'd be broken a day, right?
Right.
Or if somebody sues you for your shirt, let them take your coat as well. So that just seems really bad. But there is a big but in there.
Right, yeah.
That big, when we get Jesus' perspective, if we understand his purpose to glorify his Father, that advice goes from exceedingly bad to another definition of the word, which is awesome, like the terrible day of the Lord.
Okay.
It becomes terrific.
Let me ask you this kind of sweeping question. Does God want us to be rich or poor?
Well, let me give you a one-word answer. Yes. But, you know, we get so spun up about this one. I mean, all the way from there's prosperity theology on one side of the aisle, if you will, and all the way over to the other extreme is what I call the poverty is piety people.
Mm.
You know, obviously, if we would have followed his advice, we wouldn't have anything, right?
Yeah.
And yet, Jesus really kind of blows that up in a couple ways. One, we all get terrified when he talks about, you know, how hard it is for a rich person, you know, to get into the kingdom, right?
Right? Yeah.
And that certainly disturbs us in a first world country. Hey, am I rich? You know, is that me? And yet just a few verses later, Jesus says this other thing that sounds almost the exact opposite. We seem to forget that. When Peter says, what about us? We left everything to follow you. And Jesus says, you know, I tell you, nobody who's left, you know, all these things from mother, father, to fields and houses will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age and the age to come, eternal life. So where is Jesus going with that? I think in a nutshell, you just can't measure somebody's godliness by their financial position.
Hmm. Okay, let me ask you another one. And you actually already kind of referenced it. What do we do with when Jesus says, give to the one who asks? Because honestly, there's a particular exit off of the highway when I go home, and there are panhandlers there every single day, the same people, and I'm thinking it's a little frustrating. You know, it feels like a setup for being taken advantage of.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, that is a really tough question, what to do with that person on the corner. And so let me just start with that answer of Jesus, God gives to everybody everything we have, whether we love him or hate him, right? I mean, nobody has anything that God doesn't give us. And so on the one hand, God does give, if you might say, somewhat indiscriminately. But much more importantly, God gives to reflect his character. He gives related to his kindness, to his justice, and his righteousness. In Jeremiah, it says he delights in those things. And so give to everyone you ask, yes, but not everything they ask for, I believe. And I think that's pretty clear on how God himself gives to us.
Now, you say that generosity brings us closer to God. How so?
Yes, that's a huge thing. When I have a generous spirit, we recognize that there's somebody out there who needs things more than we do, or we maybe have our eyes on the people who are less fortunate, and we realize we've got something to share, and that gives us contentment. And contentment, I think, is really where it's at. With a generous spirit, we can get to that contentment piece. We're just, thanks God that you gave me enough. I'm able to eat, I'm clothed, and maybe there's somebody else who needs that or who needs the gospel. I can share. The Apostle Paul famously says, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain.
Great words. Now, this is a very exciting book with a very provocative title, but where can folks find this book, keep up with the other advice you might have?
So there's a website called GettingRichRight.com.
Okay.
You could just go straight to Amazon or Moody. It's out there as well.
Awesome. And the book is available now, and it's called Jesus Terrible Financial Advice. Dr. Thornton, we sure do appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you much, and you have a great, great day.
All right. Until next time, this is John Graham bringing you the Culture Connection.
Each week on Life with Purpose Radio, we bring you stories of people living their lives with purpose and caring Christians around the world. And we hope as you hear the stories that you are encouraged to live your life with purpose. And today is a great time to let us hear from you. Our email address is always available, stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. And we look forward to your comments, questions, story suggestions. Again, get to us by email, stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. And our online community continues to grow at Facebook/LWP Radio or Twitter @LWP Radio. Once again, our handle for both is LWP Radio. And by the way, you can get more information on today's stories on our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. Well, we do have more stories there awaiting for us, so let's go to Myrna Brown.
He's a chainbreaker.
Thanks, Rod. His name is Zach Williams. That song and his testimony is coming up.
Thank you, Myrna. Also ahead is an update on a movement called Pray Georgia. That's ahead on today's Missionary Moment. But before all of that, let's get over to Ron Lawson in the Life with Purpose Radio studio for the story of the Big Invite.
Thanks, Rod. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we are challenged to be intentional and ready to share our faith. Peter writes, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for this hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." There is a huge effort in Georgia Baptist churches to take the first steps to intentionally reach communities with the good news of Christ this Easter. It's called the Big Invite. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board, talks with Thomas Hammond, President of the Georgia Baptist Convention, who is leading in the Big Invite effort. Let's listen.
I'm so pleased to be on the phone today with one of our leading pastors among Georgia Baptists, Thomas Hammond, who is pastor at First Baptist Church of Alpharetta, Georgia, and also serves as the president of our Georgia Baptist Convention. Thomas, thank you so much for your leadership and your service, and thank you for being with us today on Life with Purpose Radio.
Dr. White, it's my honor and my privilege to be here. I'm excited about it.
Thomas, I want to talk about an exciting new emphasis that you're leading for the benefit of our churches. It's an emphasis on reducing lostness in Georgia and reaching people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we talk about the plans, please share with our listeners your concerns and desire to see our churches engaged in intentional evangelism in their communities.
Well, I think all of us have seen the baptisms numbers across our convention declining over the last few years. In fact, been declining for a lot longer than that, and it concerns everyone. The reality is, I think sometimes we can become so distracted with other activities. There's always something that demands our time, and there's not lost people that are crying out saying, hey, come help me, or come share the gospel with me. So it's, mm-hmm. it's something that we have to do that's intentional. The thing that really and truly grabbed my attention was some statistics that I heard from Tom Rainer when he said that 82% of Americans were at least somewhat likely to go to church if invited. And I thought, well, that is encouraging that America still has some spiritual mm-hmm. appetite and some receptivity.
So that ought to be really encouraging to our church folks and really leads us to the big invite. I want you to tell us about that.
You know, one of the things about the big invite is just something that would rally all of us together as churches and something that we all could participate in. Sometimes we do things that large churches could do or small churches could do, but every church can invite their community to come to church, especially on a day like Easter. And so that's really and truly what the big invite is about, is something that really all 3,600 of our churches could do together and impact the lostness in Georgia.
So how are you making this happen? What's happening so far to encourage the churches to invite people?
Well, we've been sending out emails to the churches that have already enrolled, explaining to them the steps on how to participate. We've been communicating with churches all across the state through emails as well as other things from the standpoint of social media. And when pastors find out about it and start to look at the materials, they see a step-by-step plan on how to plan this and how to prepare their church for the big invite for Easter and how to get their people engaged with it as well.
You know, Thomas, the greatest evidence of success is what has happened to you, I think, in the big invite. Would you be willing to share what happened with you all?
Several years ago, I was serving as an interim pastor while I was working at the North American Mission Board, and we had a discussion with the leadership desire to invite the community, and so we just did something very similar to this. We actually printed up 2,200 invite cards, divided up into about 25 different teams. It took us, you know, a little less than a day, but we did it on a Saturday morning, and went to 2,200 homes and knocked on doors, and those that answered the doors, we handed them the card and said, we'd love for you to come to our church. For those that weren't there, we just left the card there on the door hanger, and it just told them where the church was, the times, and the website, and the phone number, and so on and so forth. And we prepared for a large crowd. We actually moved the services for Easter into the gym because the sanctuary wouldn't hold the crowd. The sanctuary probably held about 350. And so we moved to the gym and had two services and ended up having 800 first-time guests on that
amazing.
Sunday, on that Easter Sunday, and had that day had 11 salvation decisions. So usually on Easter, we don't have people walk in the aisles, but this Sunday, it was really exciting to see mothers and fathers and teenagers, young people giving their lives to Christ.
So your plan has involved encouraging Georgia Baptist churches to invite 1 million people to church on Easter Sunday in 2017. And I can imagine what that number will bring if they get the same kind of response you got.
Oh, it would be exciting. It could be the largest attendance in worship in our state convention's history, that's for sure.
How can the churches find out more about this and get involved, Thomas?
Bob, all they've got to do is go to www.thebiginvite.org, and everything that they need is there on that website.
Good, good. Well, we're excited about it, Thomas, and I want to thank you for your leadership of Georgia Baptist, for your passion to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ, and for your desire to see our churches intentionally reaching their communities with the gospel. We are already in prayer for the big invite plans and pray that every one of our churches makes plans to see this Easter the greatest time of worship and attendance and evangelism that we've ever seen. And people can get involved by going online again to thebiginvite.org. I've been talking with Thomas Hammond, pastor of First Baptist Church, Alpharetta, Georgia, and the president of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Thomas, thank you so much for what you're doing for the cause of Christ, and thank you for being with us today on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you, Dr. White. It's been my privilege.
For more information on The Big Invite, go to thebiginvite.org. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
Myrna Brown is standing by with an artist that brings a fresh approach and great vocals to Christian music. His name is Zach Williams, and now he's on Life with Purpose Radio.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Zach Williams isn't just singing a song. This is his testimony that just happens to also have a good melody. Joining us on Life with Purpose Radio is Zach Williams. Welcome, Zach.
Thank you for having me.
I read your story on paper, but I couldn't wait to hear you tell it. Talk about your childhood.
There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart.
Everything pretty much as a kid revolved around going to church on Sunday and Wednesday. My dad, he led worship in church, and my mom sang. We were pretty much just a storybook family.
Christ was in your home.
Yes.
But he wasn't in your heart.
I had heard all the stories. I knew all about who Jesus was and the Bible. I had it all in my head. I just didn't have it in my heart. If you would have asked me, you know, if I was a Christian in, you know, high school, I would have said yeah, because that was just the answer. You know, I just didn't have anything in my life that actually represented it other than my mom and dad. I kind of felt like I was coasting on their coat of salvation, I guess you could call it.
Yep.
My dream was to play college and NBA, but in about 10th grade, I kind of got to running around with the wrong crowd. Instead of turning to the Lord, which was what I knew, I turned to drugs and alcohol in high school. Quit school my senior year, lost my basketball scholarship, and set out for a year playing in a men's league. Met a guy, saw me play basketball there, and ended up getting me a tryout for a junior college. And after the tryout, I was asked to come play there. They gave me a full scholarship.
God was still blessing you.
Still blessing me, yeah. And I get away from home 3 hours away and meet a bunch of guys who are doing the same thing I'm doing. They're bringing their party lifestyle from high school into college. That was pretty much my first year of college. And then the day before my very first game of my first year of college, I was in a basketball practice. We were just walking through some plays, and I went up to dunk one and stepped on a guy's foot coming down and tore all five ligaments in my ankle and pretty much put me out of school for that first year as far as playing basketball was considered. And my roommate at the time had an old guitar that was in the corner of the room, and they would go to these basketball games, and I would be stuck at home, and I just remember teaching myself how to play that guitar and falling in love with music.
Teaching yourself how to play guitar.
Yeah.
How did you do that, and how long did that take?
I guess I had it in me.
Yeah.
My dad had played music for 30 years,
yeah.
And I remember going to like a music store in the town I lived in at the time and bought like a chord chart and taped it to my wall, and I would sit at the edge of the bed with the guitar and learn all my chords. Mm-hmm. I started writing songs, and I just love the fact that you can kind of document what you're going through in your life and just put that into music and share that with people. And so I carried a guitar literally everywhere I went for about 10 years. I met my wife 2007, 2008, and at the time I was pretty much just really starting to tour in this rock band that I was in at the time. She didn't like the lifestyle. My reply was, you knew this when you met me, and I'm not changing. In 2012, we had kind of gotten to this place in our life where if something didn't happen, we weren't going to be together. One of the guys in my band at the time was playing guitar. They got an invite to go to this big Baptist church. We came for the first time, and I just remember walking in and immediately feeling just the presence of God. Convinced myself after being there for about a month that I could go to Europe and go on this big month-long tour that we have. And as soon as the plane landed in Europe, I mean, I was right back into the old Zach, the old lifestyle. And we were in a bus driving across Spain, and the driver was scanning radio stations, and I heard Big Daddy Weaves' Redeemed come across the radio.
I am redeemed. You set me free.
Like God spoke to me and said, is this what you're going to do with your life? I've given you this amazing gift, and you're wasting it. And so I called my wife and told her I was going to come home and cancel the rest of our shows and quit the band. And
I am redeemed.
apologize to my wife and kids and family and kind of ask for their forgiveness for the first time ever in my life. Just kind of fell on my hands and knees and had that moment where I just completely surrendered everything to God.
And isn't that a precious moment?
I just remember immediately feeling this peace in my life that I'd never felt before.
Yep.
These desires that I had that I struggled with for so long just started to disappear. And
pick one more song you want to talk about.
Fear is a liar.
Fear is a liar.
I just love the twist on the lyric of that song saying, fear, he is a liar.
One last thing. I understand that you are up for this little award. What's it called?
Yeah. Grammy, can you believe that?
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
How's that feel?
It still doesn't feel real. Me and my wife, I think the worst part about the whole thing is trying to figure out what we're going to wear now.
You are nominated in what category and for what song?
Contemporary Christian Song of the Year for the song Chainbreaker.
We're excited for you.
Thank you for having me.
And for Life with Purpose Radio. I'm Myrna Brown.
He's a way maker.
Today's Mission Georgia Moment focuses on Pray Georgia here on Life with Purpose Radio.
It's such a joy today to be at Sharon Baptist Church and the Mulberry Baptist Association. We've had one of our Pray Georgia meetings here today, and what a privilege it's been to be here with Alan Hall, the Associational Missionary. Alan, thank you for gathering the pastors today.
Thank you, sir.
We had a wonderful time of prayer.
Amen. It was a blessing, a true blessing.
We have no agenda when we have these Pray Georgia meetings but to pray. Just to gather and to share our hearts and the things that are on our hearts for Christ and for our churches. And it was a real sweet time. Fellowship together is always a great time. We do a lot of laughing and we do some weeping as we lift up our hearts to the Lord and share common concerns that we have about ministry. What a special blessing it was for me as the men gathered around me and prayed for me and for my ministry and for the work of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. What a marvelous fellowship of prayer. So thankful for Marty Youngblood on our staff who joins me in this effort. Marty, just a word from you about today.
Oh, I love today. I love the hearts and passion in men who love the Lord and love to pray. And it's just so encouraging to know that nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. And so with praying men and praying churches, we can get this work done.
I hope that you'll join me and Marty and the other pastors and associational missionaries as we gather together simply to pray. No agenda but to pray and lift our hearts to the Lord and see and sense His remarkable presence.
For more information about Mission Georgia, go to missiongeorgia.org. Again, the website, missiongeorgia.org. On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. And we hope today's stories have inspired you to live life with purpose. As you heard about, Rural Urban Partnership, Jesus Financial Advice, The Big Invite, Zach Williams, and Pray Georgia. Well, we'll see you next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose. And be sure to check out lifewithpurposeradio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.